I think you have Googled every ailment there is to know under the sun.
I either Google it or I WebMD it, or now I go to the Mayo Clinic because they have a really full like symptom checker thing. Yeah.
Or you ask your doctor, or you have many doctors on speed dial.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know my, I've seen my doctor this year more than I've seen my mother.
So I want to see if you know the answer to these medical questions. Should I do CPR even if I'm not trained or certified, or at least I haven't been certified in a while? So somebody passes out, should you do CPR?
Absolutely. What you do is you call 911 and they walk you through the CPR on the phone.
Okay.
They tell you what to do on the phone.
Yes, I always do whatever you can, or no, leave it to the EMTs.
Always do whatever you can.
All right, that is correct.
Yep.
Do not hesitate, they say. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Should I use someone's EpiPen on them if they're struggling to breathe or blacking out?
Of course. That's what the EpiPen is for. Shove it on in there.
Yeah, so use it ASAP. Correct. When you perform CPR, should you do both chest compressions and breathing for them?
Only do breath, because you're not an expert, and most people that do chest compressions, even EMTs, you can break their ribs.
Very good. You know all this. Is there a time window for successful CPR?
Oh, yeah, of course there is.
Small window or longer than you think?
It probably depends on what's going on with the person. If they're having a heart attack right there in front of you,
just keep it going.
You probably only have a couple of minutes.
Yeah, they said you can keep it going as long as you want until somebody comes there.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. This is important. This is like a PSA.
I know. Can seizures cause a person to have dangerous pauses in breathing?
I'm going to say yes.
It is no, seizures don't affect breathing, or yes, they may stop breathing altogether.
I mean, I had a friend once have a seizure here in my house, and I had to call 911, and
they
walked me through what to
do.
I wasn't paying attention. I was so freaked out.
So what'd you do? So they just, like, dropped in your house?
Yeah. Yeah, and they were, like, seizing, and I called 911, and I had another friend here who knew what to do, and he was holding down my friend's tongue so he didn't swallow
right.
it. And you're not supposed to do CPR in a situation like that. The 911 operator was just like, if he's get him away from anything, make sure there's nothing in his mouth,
mm-hmm.
like no gum, no food, that kind of thing. So we had to stick our fingers in his mouth and make sure there was nothing that
but
he could choke on.
But they can bite down on your finger, though.
Yeah, make sure nothing he could choke on. And they said, just basically let him seize until the EMT arrives, because you can't do chest compressions. You can't do anything like that when someone's having a seizure.
So we'll say no, they don't affect breathing. No, that's wrong. They can stop breathing. So
no, I'm telling you what happened to my friend.
Yeah. So I picked the no, they don't affect breathing, but yes, it can.
Oh, okay. The people can't stop breathing.
All right. How about this? When somebody you think is healthy, but faints during exercise and they wake up just fine, do they still need to go to the ER?
Yes. Are you kidding me? Of course. Any opportunity to go to the ER, you go, girl.
All right. You say yes.
Of course.
You are correct. No, because that's expensive.
It's worth it. Well, dying is also something you want to try to avoid.
Is it true that patients brought back from a cardiac arrest have reported hearing things around them when doctors were working on to save them? No, it's not
probably.
Possible. And yes, it
probably. No, they probably have. I mean, you know, you hear people all the time that are like, they have near-death experiences, or they feel like they died on the operating table and they heard everything going on around them. You hear those stories all the time.
If you have dangerously low body temperature, can you be brought back?
This is really creepy. Why are we still doing this? You're making me really paranoid now.
I know. That's why I like this. I'm going to say, yes, you can always be brought back if you're extremely cold. Because on house, they said you're not dead until you're warm and dead.
Cold and dead.
No, warm and dead. So if they warm your body up and you die.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, so that is true. Love this. If you do CPR incorrectly, can that person then sue you?
Ooh, look, anyone can sue anybody for anything these days. Would they win is a different story. Of course they can sue you. Everybody sues. People sue people for the stupidest stuff.
So if you do CPR on somebody and you break their ribs, can they come back? If they ended up dying, can their family come back and go after you and win?
I'm guessing they can't win, because I think there's probably some stipulation that if you're trying to save someone's life, you're indemnified against any kind of lawsuit. They can sue you, but will they win? Probably not.
No, do what you can to help. So you are correct.
Yeah.
But this still doesn't make sense, because just nobody can just start pounding on my chest if I pass out and then say, I was just trying to save him. Well, you don't know CPR. You're not a doctor.
Speaking of this kind of stuff, I have a lot of friends that are really into My 600-Pound Life and the 1,000-Pound Sisters, but let's just talk about My 600-Pound Life first. I've had a really difficult time watching that show. I wanted to watch it because so many people do watch it and they talk about it. And you know me, I want to be part of a conversation. And I've got a friend that's been watching it for years and he's always talking about it. But I feel wrong watching the show because it feels like people are gawking. These are human beings who are going through some terrible things in their lives. And I don't like the fact that people are like, I don't know, like it's a sideshow of some kind, you know, and it just dehumanizes them and it upsets me. But then on the other hand, the purpose of the show is to humanize them and to have people look at people that are 600, 700, 800 pounds and be more understanding and more empathetic as to how they got that way and what the mental
They're
health
not
issues are.
Them to be on TV though.
Well, what's interesting is they're not, but the people around them kind of are, because here's what happens on the show. So you have to weigh a certain amount in order to get the gastric bypass surgery. And that's the whole concept of the show, that they're trying to lose enough weight to get gastric bypass so they can start losing weight. So I was like, well, that's positive. That's a good thing. I learned two things from finally watching the show. Only 5% of people that get gastric bypass actually succeed.
5%.
Yeah, 5%. The other 95% end up gaining their weight back and nothing changes in their lives. That's very depressing. And then the other thing, this is so interesting. When I'm so worried. I put on a couple of pounds and I'm like, I'm so worried about my health and what's going to happen.
What's Dr. Now's phone number? Call him now.
You
eat too much.
It's not even that.
You fat, you eat too much.
It's like, you know, if I walk too far and I'm like out of breath, I'm like, hope I have a heart attack. You know, I've put on like 10 pounds. I look at these people and it's like, how are they not worried about their health? And also, how are they not dropping dead of a heart attack? Like, it's pretty amazing. Right. It's pretty amazing that their bodies are able to sustain their size and they're able to live, you know. So for all my paranoia and all of my, every time I check my symptoms, if I have one little tiny thing, I think about these people and I worry about them because I feel stupid worrying about my little things going on.
Right.
And these people probably, you know, have serious medical conditions either happening or right around the corner.
Now, when you watch that show, does it make you hungry or does it make you not want to eat?
No, it makes me not want to eat.
Yeah, it's like the show where the messy people live. What's that show?
Hoarders.
Does that make you want to clean your house or it doesn't faze you?
Oh, no,
at all?
That makes me want to clean my it makes me want to clean my house like crazy. But remember, those are the same show basically. The concept behind Hoarders and the concept behind people that become 700, 800 pounds, it's the same type of obsessive compulsive behavior. So, I don't want to say mental illness to make it seem like, you know, they're crazy. It's not that. They have serious mental illness. You know, the fact that when you get to 400 pounds, you don't stop.
Mm.
You keep going. You know, there's definitely a major psychological component
there.
Food
is really good, though. And exercise really is hard.
Oh, nobody likes exercise, and everybody loves food and good food and sugar and terrible food. I mean, it's no secret. You know, there's one guy that I was watching that he was doing really well on his diet, and the doctor's like, "But have you been snacking in between meals?" He's like, "Yeah, but I'm only having, what was he eating? Pork rinds."
Mm-hmm. Which are horrible and loaded with calories.
Right, exactly. And I was like, it's amazing to me that pork rinds are not on your diet. And who sits around eating pork rinds?
He had to be from the South. That's a Southern thing.
It is a Southern thing. But I just like that kind of food. Like when I sit around and pig out, I feel like there's more delicious things than pork rinds. Like
people love them. I mean, it's like pickled eggs. They love them.
Yeah.
And I think back to the 60s, the 70s, and even the early 80s. Did we deal with 700-pound people, or is it something in the environment that makes people that fat?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, it's funny. I was watching the show, and I was talking to friends of mine about that, about how many, many, many years ago, like back in the day in Coney Island where I grew up, they had the freak show, and they always had the fat
person, though.
And they had, yeah, but listen, they had the fat lady, and she was like 200 pounds. You know, now if you walk into a doctor's office at 200 pounds, they won't even do gastric bypass. They're like, girl, just, you know, exercise and eat a little less, you'll be fine. Mm. Like 200 pounds. My mother's friend is a gastric bypass surgeon, and he said people walk in like 300, 350 pounds. He thinks to themselves, oh, you're a baby.
Yeah, come back next month when you break 400. I think it's high fructose corn syrup. I think that's
what it is.
Whenever that began, whatever it was, 1979, 1985, whenever it was, that's when the whole world changed and everybody got to be the way they are now.
Addicted. No, it's an addiction. See, they're not eating all the time because they're hungry or because it's nutritious. They're literally addicted to food. They have psychological issues that are akin to hoarding in terms of obsessive compulsive disorder. And I'm saying that as a psychologist, which I never do on this show, but I'm saying it to you now because, you know, I can and it is. But, you know, and it's an addiction. I mean, the sugar that's in all those foods, sugar is definitely something that we get addicted to. And it's not just sugar and candy. I mean, there's sugar in McDonald's. There's sugar in French fries.
We had sugar
Not this level. No, not this level of sugar.
Sugar, not high fructose.
Fructose, right.
Corn syrup. When that changed, we had sugar back in the 70s and 80s. Sugar was around, but it was this fake shit that's made out of corn that is making everybody fat.
Yeah. No, and it's high levels of depression as well. If you think about it, like when you're depressed, you don't care. You're like, I could care less what I look like. Just, you know, pass the pork rinds.
Mm-hmm. Food makes me happy. Food loves me.
Right. Right. It's comfort. So I just, you know, I don't watch the show enough to know, but I hope that they do focus on the psychological aspects of it, and there are psychologists on the show that are working with these people and not just the gastric bypass surgeon. I didn't see any, but I'm sure if I continued to watch, maybe I would have seen.
Yeah, Dr. Now is great because he just yells at people.
No, I know, but he's a medical doctor. I'm talking about helping people with the psychological issue.
And they do that on Hoarders. They bring in the doctor that tries to fix the brain, but I think the minute the doctor leaves, they go right back to it.
Not necessarily. I mean, some of them do, some of them don't. Medication helps. So the reason why it's obsessive compulsive behavior is because, so obsessions are thoughts, compulsions are behaviors. So if you can't control the thoughts, the thought goes right to the behavior and you can't, it doesn't stop. So you have to control the thoughts. And once you put a stop to those, whatever those thoughts are, you can put a stop to the behavior.
Got it.
That's why it's OCD. That's the concept of obsessive compulsive disorder and why that's linked to things like hoarding behavior.
Is it wrong for me to watch that show and want cake?
No, not at all. I mean, listen, those shows exist because I think those shows exist so you can be more compassionate for people. Like when you walk down the street and see somebody that is I said that to my boyfriend. He's like, but you're not going to see those people walking down the street because most of them can't.
Right.
walk down the street. But when you do see somebody that is a much, much, much larger person, like 500, 600 pounds, it'll give you compassion for them, which sounds stupid. But I remember I told you the story that I had a really good friend for many years who was, I mean, not just obese, but like one of these super large people that we used to have to call ahead to make sure they had chairs she can sit in and that kind of thing. And we'd gone out to an event and she came, and my friend said to me afterwards, "You should have warned us." I said, "Warned you about what?" You should have told us what size she was, that you were going to be bringing a friend who's that large, so we could have been prepared and not reacting." Yeah, it's like, yeah. What? You can't fucking control yourself? Yeah, you are no longer my friend. Like, yeah. If that's your response, like, I should warn her about you.
Yeah, you are a douchebag and never call me.
Listen, I have friends that are assholes and you're about to meet them. Sorry, you'll never have to meet them again.